So I'm sitting here with Sandra Foster. And Sandra, thank you very much for coming in. I explained, but I'll say it again, that I'm on the board of directors of Harbor Village, and we are doing this history committee because we want to learn what changes have occurred. And so I do want to thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
I would like you to just give me your name and tell me when you moved here and how old you were at that time.
Okay, my name is Sandra Foster. I live at 212 Brunswick Avenue. I moved to Brunswick Avenue in 1952. I think it was June. And I've resided there ever since. This is now going into 2012.
Wow. Okay. So who did you move there with at the time?
I moved there with my family, my mother, my father, a sister, a sister-in-law, my brother, my aunt, my other sister, and a nephew.
And what, through the years, how has that all changed? Who are you living there with now?
Well, right now, I'm by myself because the family has passed away or married and moved out. So, like I said, I'm there by myself now.
And who were you there with, say, 20 years ago?
20 years ago, let me see how long. 20 years ago, my mother was still, my aunt was still alive. I think there were some nephews, two or three nephews. The family kept changing as one got older and moved out. Another one came in and took its place, or her place. And my sister was still alive. So I think that's it. Basically, mostly all the family was always still there. Mm-hmm. A turnover.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what prompted your family to move to this neighborhood?
Like my mother was telling me, I think it was, 1940s, at the end of the war, they were living at college in Euclid, renting, a two-story home. And they had lived there, my sister with her family, and my mom and dad with our family. And I was just telling my sister the other day, how did we all manage and fit into the house? Because we're talking seven kids and six adults.
Whoa.
Yeah. So when my sister got pregnant with her sixth child, my mother and father put her into a house that they had owned on Euclid Street, and we moved up here to Brunswick Avenue. So in 1952, we moved up here, and we split up because the family couldn't fit in two floors anymore.
But there's still a lot of people in each bedroom.
Oh, yes. I said, where did we all fit? She said, well, we had bunk beds.
And one bathroom.
Yeah, one bathroom, one small kitchen. And I said, we must have been all very small at the time. But she said, well, we managed and we did it, and everybody was happy. That's how I said, you should share a bedroom. It forms a certain bond with your family members, either
sure
brother,
does.
Sister, cousins, nephew, nieces,
Yeah,
so it forms a good bond.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you here because you have lived here for many years and you've watched the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like this neighborhood now? I mean, you've been here for decades.
I love the neighborhood, always have. Mm-hmm. I think my mother was threatening to move in the 60s or something like that, and I told her if she moves, I'm not going with her.
Uh-huh.
So
wow,
I'm so still here.
Yeah, right.
My mother really loved me.
Yeah.
So I've always loved it here. It was always close to everything. It was central. Never seemed like they had a problem. So I saw no reason to move. And I still see no reason to move.
So central works for you.
Central works for me.
Do you feel safe in the neighborhood?
When I was growing up in the neighborhood, at one time, no one ever locked their doors. None of the doors were ever locked. Yeah. But now, in the last, I'd say, maybe the last 10 years, it's always good to lock your doors and, because our door was always open. I still keep my door open to this day, but it's locked. The screen door is locked now.
Yeah.
But I still feel relatively safe. I'm in a nice neighborhood, and a lot of the neighbors have been around for a while, not as long as I have.
Yeah.
But they've been there around 30 years, 35, 40 years, so I feel relatively safe. We have a very good neighborhood. Yeah.
So in that respect, you had the doors unlocked before, and now you lock the screen door.
Yeah.
But if you have to come home, say you get off the subway at Lawrence Medina, do you feel safe to walk home at 10 o'clock at night?
10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Bloor Street is, nowadays, it's quite busy.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Bloor Street.
So I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have... Yeah. Once I get down to Bloor in Spadina or Bloor and Bathurst, I feel relatively safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to talk... I mean, mainly we are going to be talking about changes, and you've seen changes. So I'm wondering if we could start with the different waves of population that have come through in your memory.
In my memory, when I first moved up here, it was predominantly Native Indians, Jewish, one family from Poland. There was one family from, I think it was called Hungary then.
Uh-huh.
One Chinese family, which is still there. There was one Japanese family, the Yoshimotos, and they still, I think, still own their house the next street over. And basically, and the white middle class, and there was just three black families on the street. Mine was one, and the one black family is still there. The other family moved away, but still in touch. And they owned a couple of houses on this street.
Wow,
the Jacksons.
Smart.
Yeah, the Jacksons. So I'm told. Because one of my sisters married a Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Was my sister. No, she. So that's how come I know. And they have all the history. You know.
Maybe you can give me some names later.
Yeah, I could do that. Because... My neighbor across the street, Patrick, at 213 Brunswick, they wrote a book on the Jackson family and he traced them back to runaway slaves.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure if he won a Giller Award for it or there's something. I think it's called A Long, Long Way from Home or something like that. I forget.
Well, and also you said there's a Chinese family.
Yeah.
That's still
there. They're still there,
So.
The Lees.
Yeah. Well, I'll write this down later.
Okay.
If you can help me get... in touch with them, that would be
great. Yeah, okay.
And so you're talking about a long time ago. Did you watch some changes in terms of, as some people like to move north as they have more money and things?
Yes. Well, there was the time, I think, that there was the epidemic when everybody was moving to Scarborough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when my mother threatened to move. I remember that, and all the neighbors... I think the properties were larger. It seemed like a good idea at the time, get away from the city. So a majority of them moved, you know, and who
took their places? Do you have some general idea?
The new flux of new people coming into were like, there was a German family that moved in. There was this other family that came up, and they're still there too. The Garys, they are from Jamaica or Cuba via Jamaica. They were new into the neighborhood. Let me see what other. And I think it was basically middle class white, what I can remember. And I think that's about it.
Okay, so no major waves.
No, it was gradual.
Right.
It was gradual. And then there was a time, which I can't remember what year, when we started getting people from India and Pakistan, you know, and different ethnic groups. A lot of people from the Caribbean came in.
And that would have been any idea? You don't remember.
Got to be in the 70s.
Okay, yeah.
The 70s, they started... You know, or late 60s, I think the Garys were the first like Caribbean family that I was aware of, could remember. But everybody up to then were, basically we had a small black community and we were in that smaller black community. And there wasn't anybody like from the Caribbeans or from Africa. Never met anybody from that other part of the world.
And what was the atmosphere and the mood amongst the different groups?
It was just wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, we shared everything. There was people had fruit trees in the back on Brent. Some of them are still there. We had pear trees, apple trees, cherry trees. And when I can remember, the neighbors would all share. And we had two Italian families move in. Dominic and Tutti and the Martinez, they moved in. They had the pear tree in the backyard. The other Italian family down the street taught my mother how to cook in the basement. Never ever used the basement to cook because it was so hot in the summertime then. Yeah. They put the stove down the basement and they would cook in the basement.
So everybody lived harmoniously.
Everybody did, yeah. We shared up and down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
You had, like, especially the Italian, you had a lot of tomatoes. So they would make wine. So it was sharing, and then the Martinez would give us like the apples and the pears and all the fruits that were going up and down, that were grown in the back laneway. It was nice.
So you shared and also exchanged different kinds of food, like the Italians.
Yes, yeah.
They used some of their wine,
yeah,
or the tomatoes, uh-huh, that they grew in such
would send up to my mother. My mother was a widow by then, so everybody, you know, and then I can remember some people bringing by bags of vegetables, because then, remember, there used to be a truck, or actually the horse used to come by and bring the vegetables. The vegetable cart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that used to come by, and that's where, you know, and then if it was the end of the day or whatever, because we had a big family, big neighborhood, the guys on the left all the vegetables with my mom, and my mother would dish them out to the neighborhood. So.
And you must have heard a lot of languages.
Yes, yeah, especially the ones from Jamaica via Cuba. I wasn't allowed to go past Sussex streets at that time, but I said, there's a new family that lives up the street. They're black, but they speak funny.
So they were speaking some kind of...
No, it was just, it was different. I've never heard the Caribbean accent. You know, it was Jamaican.
So you had difficulty understanding them?
Well, up to this day. Yeah. Gotta really listen. But now they've been here for a long time, and I guess we all went to school together, so... Yeah. You understand them, you know.
Where's your family from? Your parents or grandparents? Or
my father, apparently,
yeah,
we don't know where we got the name Foster from. My father was something like 25 years older than my mother.
Woo.
Yeah. So we have two families. Like, I just had, my sister is 89, and my brother, who's 95, just passed away in July. And I'm 65,
yes.
So there was a big gap in there. But apparently, again, my father came to this country at the turn of the century, and he was the first TTC conductor.
And where did he come from?
We figure he comes from Jamaica, or he could have come through Cuba off the famous banana boat. You know, guys would get a job on the banana and come through the islands. And they would have a lot of nicknames, so we figure that's probably where he might have come through there.
But starting in Jamaica?
Starting in Jamaica.
Okay. And yeah. Your mother? Where?
My mother came from Barbados, mm-hmm, and this is the all-time classic story, which I have found. She had two sisters, and my grandmother, and I've got their birth certificate, my grandmother was born on the Gazette Plantation. On a plantation.
Wow.
Yeah. And she had three kids for the overseer. And he had, yeah. So I got all that. I have cousins still in Barbados that I keep in touch with. And I get all the information I can about my family back there.
So who came to Canada?
My mother. She came here when there was only by the boat, which they called the boat, the seahorse then. I'd have to look it up when she came here. But she came here in through Halifax, because I think that's the only place the boat docked. And through Halifax, she came into Truro, into Montreal. Or is it Montreal first, then Truro? It's in there somewhere. Okay. Into Toronto. And she was the domestic at... she worked for this Jewish family in Rose Hill. And she raised their three kids. And the youngest one used to always come and visit my mother.
Oh, she loved your mother.
Yeah, she always, and I think she got hit at Brunswick and Bloor by the streetcar or something and went home and died.
Oh.
Yeah, So
it must have been a loss for your mother,
it
too.
It was, yeah, because my mother raised her.
Yeah.
And she was short. And we used to always ask her, when is she going to grow up? you know.
So your mother is from Barbados.
Barbados, yeah.
Right, and your father from Jamaica. But your father came earlier.
My father must have come, much earlier.
Of course
he was married to the first Mrs. Foster, which is my sister's mother. And my sister's, and she's talking, she's trying to tell me everything that she can, but my memory isn't that good. I should get her to record it. Yeah, and so she's telling me a few things. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. What about religions? Were you aware of people going to church, going to synagogue, changes, anything there?
Well, I was aware of people going to the synagogue because there's two on Brunswick Street. There's originally two. The old one is still operating on Brunswick.
That's right.
Yeah.
North Harvard.
But there was another one at the corner of Sussex and Brunswick. That's the bigger one. It's I think a government building now, but that was another Jewish synagogue there. So on the high holidays, it would be in flux of all the cars and the singing and the music. So I was aware of that. And then my sister's brothers and sister were Roman Catholics, and we're Methodists, but we had respect for each other's religion, because I remember going to midnight mass Christmas Eve or something
like that. Oh, yeah. So that's, those are lovely.
So we have
very musical.
Yeah, and then my sister, she just took me to church with her, where she went, because she's sick now, so she needs company to go to the church. So I just took her to, I think it's Saint Matthias on Bellwood, somewhere down around there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I saw the two religions. Yeah. And
but
then
it's interesting that when I asked about religion, the first thing you thought about were the two synagogues on Broadway.
Yeah, because I wasn't allowed to go below Harvard Street.
Oh, okay.
And I can only go to Sussex. That was my boundaries.
Right.
Never got to Bloor Street unless my mother. You just out of bounds.
Yeah.
You just didn't go. You couldn't go. Wasn't old.
So you had some freedom, but she wanted to
we were
safe.
In that block. Everybody had to stay in that block.
I guess considering how dense the population is, I'm sure there were a lot of people to be with.
But you know, it was fine, because as I can remember, Saturday afternoon, matinees, 1 o'clock. I grew up, there was a lot of kids on the street. We had a lot of kids. But Saturday, 1 o'clock, everybody went to the movies. You know, my mother would make the popcorn. I guess we couldn't afford to give everybody, I don't know, popcorn was maybe 5 cents a bag then. So we'd get the popcorn. My mother would make popcorn, and we'd have those little brown Spanish peanuts.
You're making me hungry.
And we'd go to movies from 1 o'clock to about 5 o'clock. No adults were allowed in the movies because it was for the kids. And that's where and the street was quiet until the movies got out.
Isn't that funny? So that was everybody's
activity. That was everybody.
No matter
all the kids, on the block went to the movies. The Midtown, I think, still up there. It's called the Bloor Cinema now, but it was called the Midtown then.
Yeah. And I grew up in Montreal, where children under 16 were not allowed into movie theaters because apparently there had been a big fire.
Oh.
So until 16, you weren't even allowed into the theaters.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what I'd like to talk about are some of the more street kinds of issues and the changes that you've seen, such as people getting around. Was there any difference in how people traveled around the neighborhood? You talked, in fact, I'm interrupting you, I know.
No.
But you talked about food being delivered by horse. So what was that? What was delivered by horse at that time?
It would be a vegetable cart that you'd go out and buy your vegetables, fruit and vegetables. It would be fruit and vegetables, the vegetable man. And I think they used to ring a bell or something.
Yeah,
they used to ring a bell to know that you're in the neighborhood.
Right.
Drop the feed bag off for the horse. Then all the mothers would come out, because mothers were all at home in those days.
Yeah, that's of course.
Yeah.
So it was fruits and vegetables. Anything else?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Fruit and vegetables only.
Yeah.
That I can remember, because I'm talking when I'm about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So.
What about stores? Were there large stores or mainly corner stores?
There were corner stores. We had one at the corner store at Brunswick and Sussex on one side, and there was another corner store on the opposite side. Those were the two corner stores.
Yeah, and you can see that those were stores.
You can
see
the
big curtains.
And now I can't remember, because it's called Metro now. It used to be called Dominion.
Right.
I'm not sure, but I think Dominion was there many, many years ago, because I think I remember my mother sending us to the store to get peas.
Yeah.
And it was to get a couple cans of peas, so everybody went. If you had to go, everybody that you're playing with went. So there'd be 7 or 8 of you, then a dog. Go to Dominion, get this can of peas. You go in, you get the can of peas, and it better be the right can of peas, otherwise my mother would be sending us back. And And it used to seem so far away.
Yeah.
It's like making a trip. But yeah. we all went and did it in the summertime. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the changes in homes? Have you seen people making changes in the homes?
Well, I've seen people doing a lot of changes in the house. Like, I've kept my house as it was when we moved in. I still have the high ceilings, the original moldings, the banisters. I've managed to maintain and save all of that.
It's beautiful.
Couldn't save the floor. The plumbing I just had to upgrade. Electric, all that had to be upgraded. But I managed to save all that. And your big baseboards, your 6-inch baseboards over there. I've actually, over the time, stripped them all down to the original, and I've got them that way, and I'm keeping them that way. But what I notice in the neighborhood now is people are gutting them out, just keeping the front, and gutting them out, and it hurts my heart to see them throw out all the old banisters and all the 6 inches baseboard and all that molding that they just don't make anymore, and they don't know how to make it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those are some of the changes.
It.
Yeah, they're losing it, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, but once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the only thing I find a little disheartening, because they're wonderful, beautiful houses on the inside.
A
lot of
yeah.
workmanship.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Lots of character.
Lots of character,
yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I said, my, because I stripped down a door frame, and when you strip all that paint off, it's just beautiful under there. And there's one little piece of wood, there's like 5 lines, you know, you never saw with all the paint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're, some of them are modernizing it, they're
yeah.
losing some of the character.
Yeah,
and the charm.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Any changes in the back lanes that you see?
Oh, yes. They're back lanes and basements. When I was growing up, no one ever used the basement. It was just to store the potatoes and the coal and everything else, all the heating stuff. No one ever used the back lanes unless you had a car, and very few people had a car, so they weren't utilized as much as they are now. I guess we have a bigger population. The back of my lane, which I suggest they name it the Foster's Lane, but they're naming it after the Jacksons, which is okay because they're almost family.
Right.
It's like another road. It's like almost a sidewalk.
Right.
It's very busy. There's a restaurant right at the end of the lane, the Green Room, so it's very busy.
Yeah.
And then you get the kids from Central Tech coming over and hanging out, so it's a busy lane, and the park in there, which busy can be good,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so
it's always an influx. It's like a security type of thing,
yeah.
And the lanes are quite lit right up now with the new lighting system, so it's almost like another form of getting around, especially if the main arteries are full.
Yeah. So that's a big change.
Yeah, very interesting.
And any thoughts about the use of backyards? Any changes there?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, when we're grown up, the backyards were mostly used for planting vegetables, tomatoes, green beans, potatoes, carrots. My mother had them all in the backyard, so it was a source of, I guess, food.
No
one had a luxury in those days. You know, I remember going outside to barbecue in my day. No one had a barbecue. You know, so it was a luxury. I remember those tomatoes. We'd have tomatoes.
So a good piece of it was used for food for the family.
Yes.
Right.
Food for family and shared.
Right. And did you sit out there at all? Or
I don't think so. It's almost just like you didn't sit out there. It was.
So where did you sit in the summer?
On the front porch. On the front porch.
Yes.
That reminds me, my neighbor across the street, Anna, she's been there quite a while too, and she was telling me, you know, how she used to sit on her veranda and look over on our veranda. She said, your veranda was always full. There was always a lot of laughter coming. I says, yeah, it was. But you're right. We all sat on the front porch because we had chairs out there. And I guess when the lights came on, everybody had to go to their veranda. All the kids had to go sit on your veranda. 9 o'clock when the lights, you had to sit on your veranda, I guess. And then you could ask your mom and dad, well, can I go over to so-and-so's veranda? And I guess they'd give you 10, 15 minutes. You can go over there and chit-chat, and then you have to come home at a certain time. Then everybody else would walk you back home, and you walk.
So there were a lot of people sitting outside.
Yes, because it was too hot in the house.
Yeah. And speaking to each other to other verandas, like the ones you were very
close. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next door to us, or next house door, because I had Mr. and Mrs. Roy beside me. And then there was beside them, there was Mr. Freeman. And so we were talking distance. And then there was the Martinez, because they had about 5 kids in their house, 5 or 6 kids. And, you know, 9 o'clock that night, everybody's sitting on the veranda. Maybe we were loud, I don't know. But everybody was on the veranda and everybody was talking. It was summertime.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I've lived that way. And
yeah.
I love it.
I think so, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about heating the homes?
I remember the oil men when they used to come. That pump, and they fill up the oil.
Yeah.
Do you vaguely through the basement or something? Or I remember the coal.
Yes.
Coal being delivered. And I remember, I guess, from coal we went to the oil. And I remember that big pot belly stove with the arms coming out, and you'd stand close and you'd get really hot. I remember that. Yeah, and then we had the oil. And then you didn't notice if the house was cold or hot because your mother was always cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So the stove, her cooking, kept the whole place hot. Now that there's nobody there and there's nobody cooking, you notice it's cool.
Right.
So you
have to make sure the heat is on.
Yeah, so you know that heat does... That just brought memories back there.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's very interesting because going from coal to oil.
Yeah.
And what about
high efficiency.
Right. And what about garbage collection?
I didn't know this, but when I was growing up, my mother used to recycle.
Wow. How? What?
Well, any peelings from the potatoes or any potatoes or vegetables that went bad, any chicken guts, fish guts, everything. When she'd dig a hole and put it in the backyard. I guess that helped the garden.
Yeah. Oh.
So we actually recycled.
She was composting.
She was composting, yeah. And I don't know if there was much garbage generated in those days. I can't remember.
And how was the garbage picked up? Do you have any memory of that?
I don't remember garbage pickup. I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe the boys had to do it, but I doubt it. My mother, my sister, my aunt, they did everything. Because we were little. We had a shovel. Had a shovel snow. Mr. and Mrs. Roy, our neighbors next door to us, were an older couple. So we would have to get up before we went to school. If it snowed, we'd have to shovel their walk, then shovel our walk.
Yeah.
And the other older neighbors across the street, we'd have to shovel their walk.
And you're talking about community.
Yes.
Look how thoughtful that
was. Yeah, yeah. Well, we never said, well, Mom, how come we have it? If we just got up, you know, it snowed. Okay, we got so-and-so and so walks to shovel. And we got to do that, be back and get something to eat and get ready to go to school.
Yeah. And also, when you say they were an older couple, how old were they? Your age now?
Probably.
My age?
Right. Probably. Yeah. When you were 10 and 11, they were old. They had glasses, that white hair.
But that's so lovely in terms of community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? We couldn't, never heard of getting paid for it. Never, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember my mother would never allow them to give us money for shoveling the walks. But when Mr. and Mrs. Roy went on vacation, they would always bring us back silver dollars.
Oh, yeah.
We always brought back silver dollars.
So you had a collection of silver dollars.
Yeah, I wish I knew where they were now.
You're right. Yeah, so. Anything about cottage industry? Anybody working at home that you were aware of?
Everybody. Well, all moms are at home.
But working to earn some money.
I think they were just working to feed us.
Yeah.
I don't think there was no luxuries. If I tell my sister, were we poor? I said, we were never hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess being that young, fashion just didn't exist. You got clothes handed down to you.
Yeah.
It was acceptable. And clothes last in those days to be handed down to kids. And when you're finished with, good to the neighbors across the street.
Yeah.
You know, so...
It's an interesting question, were we poor? Because you had all the fundamentals.
Yeah.
You had food, you had a roof over
your head. We had a dog, we had friends, family. So I can remember one time my mother saying, later on, just before she passed, I said, Mom, remember those special dinners that we used to have, you used to make? She used to make all these biscuits with jam and butter and jam. I've got the cholesterol now from
the good old days.
The butter and jam. Mm. She'd make tea with a lot of milk in it. And I said, remember those special dinners you used to make for all of us? She says, yeah. She said, you got those special dinners because that's all I had to feed you with. Uh-huh. You know, and we could eat. And she would have all kinds. I can remember her baking muffin tins. I think I still got them. And we'd have a table be full of muffins and the jam, homemade jam that some neighbor made, and the butter and the, all this milk and tea and or cocoa. You know, and that was our special dinner. Still remember to this day. I said, oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here's an interesting topic. What about dating?
Oh, wasn't allowed to at 7. No one was allowed to date. I have to take one on that because I don't know. Wasn't old enough.
You know? What about 12, 15, 18?
No, absolutely. Remember, I'm 65, so... And my father was from the old school, and so is my sister from, she's, you know, they're from the old school, so.
So nothing to do with boys?
No. Oh, absolutely not. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Oh. You know, even though your brother had friends or whatever, mm-hmm. that was fine, but there's, no. I mean, you were not allowed out. How can you go out with somebody if you weren't allowed off the block?
Yeah. So, and do you remember any of the children, any of the
people
you went to school with?
Yeah, I remember one girl down the street. She had a boyfriend. And she ran away with him. That was a big thing. She ran away with him for a couple of days. That was the big, big thing. But I think that's about all that I can remember about relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did people have animals, pets? Were there a lot of stray animals on the street? What about animals?
I don't think they were stray because it seemed like everybody had a dog. All the kids had a dog. We had two cats. We didn't need a dog because our friends would have the dog. So we shared our animals. Literally, we shared the dogs. Yeah, so that would be it because I guess no one could afford a guinea pig or... one of those luxury pets. The pets we had to do a job.
And they did.
And they did.
Which we discussed. We talked about Metro, which used to be Dominion. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about the corner stores.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything specifically about the stores on any of our major streets, such as Bloor or Harvard or College?
Well, see, then again, I wasn't allowed to go to Bloor Street, plus Harbor Street or College.
Mm-hmm.
Bloor Street, it was just, some of the things are still there, like the hardware store, Winer's hardware mm-hmm. store is still there. There's some things that are still there. And some things has changed. But mostly, I think it's just busier now. Mm-hmm. The times, a lot of restaurants. One time there wasn't any restaurants on Bloor Street, maybe one or two. And that was it. There's a lot of different ethnic restaurants. You can get Mediterranean, you can get sushi, you get Japanese type, you know, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't there. That just came in the 80s, the different fluctuation.
Yeah. Huge selection.
So, yes, very, never heard of all this stuff before. Yeah.
But the Bloor Cinema was, what was it called again?
I think called Midtown.
Yeah.
There was actually two of them. Lee's Palace was another movie theater. I think that was called the Alhambra and the Midtown. So there were only two movie theaters on Bloor Street at the time. And I'm not sure if the Alhambra had puppet shows.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I forget.
I'm certainly pleased that we still have one
theater
there. It's big.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're renovating.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't be able to fit in the seats now.
I want to move into the whole category of institutions.
Uh-huh.
So we'll start with healthcare and hospitals. Any thoughts about that, of the changes?
Well, yeah. Right at Brunswick and College, that new complex, medical complex, that used to be originally, it was called the Doctor's Hospital.
Right.
And that was new to the area. That was the first hospital that I was aware of. Otherwise, it was only the Toronto Western, I believe, because I think I was born at Toronto Western.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's all that I can remember. And there was St. Christopher House. Yeah. My mother says she used to take me to the St. Christopher House, the original St. Christopher House on Wales, to get the babies got inoculated.
Oh, so there was a clinic of
some sort. A clinic of some sort, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there was a clinic.
Yeah.
And then later on in my teen years, I think it was the same place, it turned into a community center where we all congregate there at a community center.
Yeah, I think it did become a major community
center. Now it's moved to Ossington and Dundalk. Ossington and Queen. Still existing. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You talked about the synagogues, and a little bit about the church that you went to with your family, but that wasn't right in the neighborhood.
No, it was on Shaw Street.
Right.
It's still the property is still there. It had a big fire a couple of years ago, and it burnt down, and it's still just sitting there vacant. But that was a church that our family had gone to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Knox Church was always still there. What I can remember vaguely, Knox Church was always there too. That was at Spadina at Harvard, yeah. I believe so, because I think my brother, I think he went to some kind of camp or there's
a day camp of some sort.
Something. Yeah. Or yeah. Some
well,
kind
that
of camp.
Church is certainly still there. And
oh, yeah.
The one on Bloor Street, right near Metro.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's always been there.
Right.
Yeah, that's always been there.
And that has a lot of community activity.
Yes, yes.
It's a huge
yes.
number.
Yeah.
But you weren't too familiar.
Well, couldn't. Only time I went there, I was going to Dominion. Get those cans of peas.
Do you feel that the university has some influence or impact on years ago and then now?
Well, yeah. Years ago, it wasn't as extended as it is now. Mm-hmm. Like behind Dominion, they have the field and they have the hockey arena there, mm-hmm. which is unfortunately that they don't maintain and keep it up, because we used to go skating there all the time. It's come over and it seemed like it's expanding all around.
It is.
It's expanding.
Yeah.
It's expanding everywhere.
Does that feel positive or?
I don't mind it expanding as long as you don't tear down all those wonderful old buildings. You mean incorporated in?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we all have to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
What about the students? Do you feel the impact of students living in the neighborhood in any way?
Only on Thursday or Friday or Saturday night when the bars close.
Yeah.
You know, but that's about it. I think the students and are students, and they're there to learn, and they can't fool around, otherwise they don't graduate. You don't graduate, then you got to repeat, cost money, and it's getting now that you can't afford to repeat something. You just have to be serious. So once in a while you let your hair down or you put your hair up, whatever. And they come by my house making a lot of noise, and I say, I think I've done the very same thing myself.
So you're empathic about it.
Yes, exactly.
And what about Kensington Market? I'm asking you about the changes and any impact it has on our neighborhood.
Big changes. Well, I went down there in the 50s and 60s, so I saw the change. I still find it exciting. It's just so cozy or nookish, or there's just something nice. And I think they should keep cars out of there.
Well, you know, they do it
in the summertime perfect.
I
guess when I was going down, when my mother used to take me, hardly anybody had cars. So there was never, only cars were in there would be the cars or the horses delivering stuff. I think it would be the horses delivering stuff and the trucks that would deliver stuff in the market. Because everything was out on the street. You know, wintertime, you didn't need refrigeration. The fish and all the stuff be out on the street. You just come and pick it up, and the meats all be out on the street. You know.
And have you seen changes in the market?
Oh yeah, it's becoming quite trendy. More bars.
Right.
You know, which at one time it was a market.
Right, right. So now it's a market. But you're right.
Yeah, they have a few of the places that do have the most of them still have the fruits and vegetables outside and all the nuts. No meat, I guess new health regulation, can't keep the meats exposed outside,
so refrigerated.
So it's coming, keeping up with progress, I would imagine. No, but it's coming quite the trendy. There's condos down there now, you know.
Yeah, there's one very classy one there
that
I've been in.
Yeah, yeah.
And high ceilings.
Yes, yeah, so it's... I like to incorporate the old with the new, but let's keep more of the old.
Yeah, you don't want to lose
old,
it.
Old is better.
Yeah.
Last longer.
Okay. We talked a little bit about security. Mm-hmm. This is on my list here.
Yeah.
You and I have already discussed that. What about home renovations that you have observed?
Oh, what I see, which is going on all over it, because in all these old, nice Victorian, now it's called retro, Victorian homes that they're just, like I said, they're just gutting them out, leaving the front on and just gutting it out and making it so modern that they lose all the character to it.
I noticed that they also get rid of this overhanging thing.
Oh, on the verandas?
On the verandas.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I got rid of mine because it fell down. I would like to put it back, but you know, I tried to keep everything as it was. So inside the house, everything is basically, my home is basically the same.
Yeah.
Kept it that way.
Just to talk about some of the big events, one is the Spadina Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s until 1971. Do you have any memory of that?
No. I was 21 or something. You want to put a subway in, go ahead, fine. I remember vaguely reading about it, hearing about it on the news, about this new Spadina subway. It's going to do so much, take you so much, and but that's about it, just the fleeting.
You weren't opposed to it? No.
I wasn't opposed to it. I wasn't informed at the time of what it would do, because my travels, I only stayed within my area, my district. I went as far as Yonge Street, and that was the streetcar then. The streetcar used to run along Bloor Street. Streetcar used to run along Harvard Street.
So you still have good transportation.
Oh yes,
neighborhood.
Oh, very
sure.
Good. Yeah, it's we're close to everything. If you're not close enough, we just get off and walk.
What about Rochdale? Any memories of that?
I think, wasn't that the apartment building on Huron Street in Bloor? Okay, that was the time when they had the LSD and all the hippies and all that.
Yeah.
I just remember vaguely hearing things, the hippies are smoking pot in there.
Yeah.
But that's about...
Yeah. So that's about it. Certainly it had no impact on
me. It had no impact on me, no.
Yeah. Well, we've covered pretty much everything that I was hoping that we would cover. When you think of living in the neighborhood and the changes that you've observed and participated in, off the top of your head, can you think of anything that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, in the neighborhood, when I was growing up, no one had fences. We used to play ball run on the lawn. You just go get your ball. And I look out my window now, everybody has a fence.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, everybody has a fence. It would be nice if people just took down their fence. I even have it. Well, my mother put the fence up, so that's why that's up. But that's it. No one had any fences.
That's a very, very interesting one.
Yeah.
And it felt better to you to not have the fence.
I mean, if you're running, you don't see this fence, you trip over it, or you can't get your ball because you're trespassing. We had more, but then there's hardly any kids outside playing in the streets anymore. We don't have to play in the streets. We never had games. We had to make our own games. We had to make our own fun, and sometimes I see in September, no kids picking up the chestnuts. The chestnuts are sitting there. We run over, picked up. That was one of the things we had. We picked up chestnuts, our toys.
That was a fun thing.
That was a fun thing because we used to make toys out of them. It was called a donny whacker. Because you put a chestnut on the end of a rope, vaguely, and then you'd have to take another chestnut and hit it off. There's some silly little game.
Oh, sounds fabulous.
You know, like that other game, like rock, scissors, rock, and paper?
Yeah.
Same type of game. And the donny whackers were like that too, so you'd have to run and get all the chestnuts. I mean, the squirrels had to fight us kids for the chestnuts.
Anything about the schools that we're talking about kids? Any thoughts you have about that?
Oh, when I went to school, I went to Lord Lansdowne. Is it still called Lord Lansdowne now?
So.
Yeah, I went to Lord Lansdowne there on Robert Street.
Yes.
And what I remember is there was only two black families that went to that school, and predominantly Jewish. There was, I think from Poland, there were some Polish kids in there too, but it was predominantly Jewish when we went to Lord Lansdowne,
and
middle class white.
And what was the education like, and what were the kids like with each other?
I believe we were all fine. We came from a time when no one had anything. We didn't know it, but we all seemed to get along. And I went to the reunion in 1988. It had a reunion, so we all of us went to the school. We're all sitting around, like, you know, it's so many years later, and we're all sitting there, and it's like time hasn't passed for any of us. And then the teacher comes up and tells us, he says, "This is the first time I've ever had to tell you kids, you got to leave now. You got to get out of the school." You know, so we were just there. We were just talking. Yeah. That, I thought, was amazing. It was like, we're all older now, wiser, married with kids and stuff, and we're all sitting at that table talking like no time has passed. I think in those days, because we didn't have much, we formed a certain special bond. And I don't know, it seems like it just carries through. It's very special, and I don't think it's going to happen again because of the new modern technology. Everything is so fast-paced.
People had different relationships.
We had different relationships with our, I guess, with our neighbors, family, friends. It was much different because I guess we didn't have very much.
And where are most of these other people living, or did you not discuss that?
This reunion was back in 1988.
Which is still a long time
yes.
ago.
You know, every now and again, some people were still in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Mike Better and his brother, but they both passed away. I haven't seen him in years, so I presume he's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there was the Schwartzes up further up on Brunswick Street. I didn't see Max for a couple of years, so I ran into his sister, and she had told me, well, he was in some kind of accident, and he was a paraplegic now. But I'm sure, he must be about 70 now. My brother would be about 70, so I'm not sure if he's still here or if he's passed away. You know, it's just that we're all getting older, and some people still come back. There was Marilyn Goldstein, a teacher. She would bring her class. I forget where she taught out of. She'd bring her class down to the neighborhood that she lived in. And she just happened to see, I was standing outside. And she said, "Are you still here?" I said, "Yes, I am." Then I had another Jewish family that came back that lived in my house. They lived in my house? Yeah, they lived in my house at 212. And their aunt lived at 216. And her grandson was doing some type of work in school, something about heritage too.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So I said, "No, come in the house. Come in the house, and I'll show you." And I said, "We have some stuff in the house that was left over from your family. There's some mirrors, and there's a nice little telephone stand that I kept." I said, "Yeah, this belonged to your family."
Oh.
And it's still in the house.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so
story.
She brought them in. The grandson wasn't interested. He was about 11. But the older daughter was interested. Yeah, and I says, "Oh, yeah." So yeah. I brought them in. They looked around. And then they were telling me how 216, I think their parents paid something like $5,000 for it. You know? $5,000 is a lot of money in those days. So she said,
oh, yeah.
So they there's a lot of people that come back to the neighborhood, you know, and they don't recognize my house because it's changed a bit. Like I said, the veranda fell off, so I've changed. And I have the house with a big flagstone on it. Big mistake, I put flagstone on it. I shouldn't have done that, but in the 80s, we're doing things like that. And I tell them, "Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I said, "Now you're sorry you're moved, aren't you?" There's the Bygraves that come back to the old neighborhood. There was a couple other families that came back, you know, and I said, "I'm still here."
Any final stories, old secrets, old funny memories, anything that you want to...
I would have to think about it, because there's a lot. We had such a nice, good neighborhood, you know. if we could go back to that way, I think the world would be a better place. Everybody cared. I remember we'd get the apples or the pears from the neighbors down the street, and of course we'd bring them in, and we'd have to sit down, all the kids, we'd have to peel them, because my mother would do preserves, so we'd have to peel them, and then I remember we'd peel the apples or the pears, and then there'd be a worm in half, so my mother would say, well, you got to share. Cut that half out, give it to the worms, and cut the other half up. Because no one used pesticides or anything
yeah,
there.
Right, yeah. I remember that with peaches, eating peaches.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Terrible.
My mother did preserves, so we had to cut it out and scoop. Yeah. But we shared, and everything went back into the lawn. You know, I remember that, sharing with the worms.
She was ahead of her time.
She was. Yeah. I guess all mothers in those days were, because you just had to be.
Yeah.
Who knows when garbage pickup was? I don't remember. If there was, and how the sanitation was in those days, so you had to keep things free of germs and bacteria and all the other stuff. Yeah, but I just remember those peeling them and the tomatoes.
Well, and the sharing of the tomatoes.
Yes.
And the fruit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, and the wine, too. Mother gave us wine at Christmas time. The Italian family, I remember he'd make them in those big jugs with the plastic on top. I guess he'd make them, and it was, you could see it, and they'd be fermenting, or how they ever made the wine, and my mother would give all of us some wine.
Well, Sandra, we've come to the conclusion of this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a total pleasure for me. Thank you
so much.
It's been
interesting for me, too.
Yeah.
Brought back some memories.
Yeah.
I'll probably think of some more. I'll write them down and call you.
Please do. I would certainly appreciate it if there's more you want to talk about. And I think you're right that this will really trigger other memories.
Yes.
So you can write them down, and we can meet together.
Exactly, yeah. Now I know where you live.
Yeah. So you can come over. We can talk for another half hour.
Certainly.
If you have more memories of the changes that you've experienced and observed, please get in touch with me.
Yes, will do.
Yeah.
Okay.